Hello everyone. I want to just take time out to wish you a very happy new year. It's a very strange thing to say, isn't it, really, considering the year of uncertainty that we have and the fact that we're beginning 2021 with the same amount of uncertainty. I know that we are expecting a vaccine to come and change our lives, but the start of this year is still very uncertain. So in that context, I want to ask you to do something. And that is to believe God for great things amongst us in 2021. To begin to pray and ask God for those things. To expect great things from God in 2021. To raise your level of anticipation, what God will do amongst us. Even if you can, your excitement that God will do great things amongst us. And with that in mind, I'm therefore going to ask you to be strong and courageous in regard to your faith. Now, that's a behavior thing, and a determination thing. And with that in context, I want to ask you to turn with me to Joshua chapter 1, where it says this, that after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now that's very important because Joshua knew that. He knew that Moses was dead, but God is reinforcing it. He's actually saying, okay, Joshua, over to you. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving them, to the people of Israel. Every place the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given it to you, just as I promised Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I want you just for a moment or two, imagine standing next to Moses and watching tens of thousands of Jewish men and women and children passing him as they made their way out of Egypt, out of slavery, out of bondage, in what we know as the Exodus. Imagine their joy, imagine their conversation, imagine the looks on their faces as they pass before you. It must have been an incredible sight. For 400 years, the nation of Israel had lived in increased slavery and bondage to their Egyptian masters, but now the time was there, the time was now, the time was now, this day of incredible freedom. Just imagine it. Imagine if you were in the crowd. Imagine what you would be saying. Imagine what you would be experiencing. Their freedom was gained, was it not, by the miraculous and awesome displays of God's power? They knew that. The 10 plagues that hit Egypt should have been enough to have strengthened their faith and secured their obedience to God. They saw God at work. Then, as they were walking out of Egypt and to passing Moses, this great pillar of cloud came down and separated and protected them from the onrushing chariots of Egypt. What an experience. What a story. What stirring thing that is occurring that would affect their faith so much. And as God led them towards the Red Sea would part and God would lead them through on dry land, only to swallow up and drown the armies of Pharaoh. Can you imagine being there? Can you imagine how they'd have talked of the God in whom they served and the ability of the God in whom they served? And as they journeyed across the lands on the other side of the Red Sea, they found that the water was bitter. As they put it to their mouth, they spat it out. But God did a miracle, refreshing, drinkable water was given to them so that these people might survive. And then, of course, he provides them with food by sending down manna from heaven. Their clothes would not wear out. Their shoes would not wear out. But again, the people became thirsty and God instructed Moses to strike a rock, an impossible object that nothing grows both from in it or around it. He strikes it with a staff and water comes out of it. And these people lived in the daily reality that the God in whom they worshipped was a God of miracles. They were being guided by cloud and fire. It's beyond the normal. This was something that they saw, and when they got up in the morning and when they went to bed at night, they saw the miraculous power of God in front of them. And when finally they arrive in Mount Sinai, we read in Exodus 19 that there was thunder and lightning and thick cloud and trumpet blasts. These people see the mountain covered with smoke and fire coming from it and the glory of the Lord descending. The Bible tells us, does it not, that the mountain shakes and it trembles. What incredible, wondrous, fearful, powerful things these people see and experience. Remember that Moses left the presence of the Lord. He came down from the mountain to rejoin the people. It says in Exodus 34 that his face shone with the glory of the Lord so brightly and radiantly that the people were terrified to come near him. What is that? What is that? What an extraordinary thing to witness. Something beyond what you and I know. And all these incredible displays of supernatural and miraculous power were all witnessed by the people of Israel. There are so many more. But wouldn't you say that each event, some daily, should have served to deepen their faith, their trust in God, the way that they worshipped him and served him, wouldn't you think that this would make a difference to them? How would you respond? How do you respond to the God of miracles? When the people finally arrive at the promised land, Moses sends the 12 men, one from each of the 12 tribes, to spy out the land to determine how large and strong the nations were that occupied it. When the men returned, remember there were 10 of them, that it says they were terrified. And they insisted that there was no way that the people of Israel could defeat the Canaanites. What? The people seem to have so easily forgotten who God is and what God can do, and they grumbled and they preferred, did they not, the onions and garlic of Egypt, and they wanted to go back into bondage. God's reaction is swift, it's severe. None of these people will see the land that I've promised. And God caused the people to wander again in the wilderness for 38 and a half years. And during this time, every person over the age of 20 would die. The only exceptions would be Joshua and Caleb. Those were the two spies amongst the 12 who were convinced that Israel would have no problem defeating the Canaanites because of the God in whom they served. Wow. All the people that saw, all the people that personally gained from the miracles of God would never go into the promised land. Please let that sink in for a little. All of us that have seen the miraculous God at work, dwell on it for a while. It's huge actually to consider what every man and woman saw and experienced in God. And yet they just did not believe that God was up to the task of getting them into the land. It would make sense, would it not then, that Joshua would feel very daunted and overwhelmed at the prospect of taking over the reins from Moses and leading these people. And yet, how did he do it? How did he do it? How did he carry out such an awesome, overwhelming task of leading these people into Canaan? Well, our passage does tell us. It tells us that there's a certainty there that God will fulfill his promises. It tells us that there was a confidence in God's presence, and it tells us there was a trust in the law of God. So let's just look at those for a short while. So firstly then, there was a certainty that God will fulfill his promises. The land is described in those early verses in Joshua chapter 1, from the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the Euphrates, all of the land of the Hittites, to the great sea towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. So this is a sizable piece of land that lies in front of them. This is not small, this is large. But between them and this land is a river, and it's in flood. And there's not a bridge or a boat or a helicopter to get people over. There's no way round. There was a major obstacle. There would be others, but this was the first major obstacle. So how did Joshua deal with obstacles that come in the way? Well, firstly, he has to cope with himself. Joshua has to follow Moses and his great exploits. Moses was now dead. He has to cope with the fact that of any feelings of inadequacy or inferiority, they must be dealt with. He has to battle with himself. that God had said to him, "No, Joshua, I've chosen you to go through. You're the man." Just like God has chosen you and said, "No, you're the person that I have asked to be at this time in this place to believe me." It's an obstacle. It's a river in flood. You and I can be rivers in floods. And God says, "No, I believe that you can get through this. Be strong and courageous in believing what God has said to you about you." But also Joshua has a people who has a long history of rebellion, a track record of unbelief and grumbling. They threatened, of course, at one point to kill Moses. Would they kill him? Joshua had seen it all. He's got another obstacle, and that's the people. So how did Joshua respond to these three mountains, this river, himself, these people? The answer is the short word, faith. He believed that God would do what God said he would do, full stop. "I'm going to believe that what you say is what you will do." Here it is in verse 2. "Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all the people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised Moses." But this just wasn't faith. "Yeah, I believe that." There was something to go on top of that faith, and that was, "I believe it, and now I'm going to act upon it." This was faith with obedience. Joshua believed that as long as he walked where God had said that he would lead him, that he would succeed in the task that was assigned to him. It's simple obedience. It is through our faith and our obedience that God gives us the strength required to carry out everything that he has asked us to do. Paul tells the church in Rome of an obedience of faith. "I will do it because you have said it." That's it. So will you do it because God has said it? Will you be strong and courageous in terms of your faith and your obedience as you move through into 2021? The second thing is a confidence in God's presence. "Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you." Verse 5. "For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Verse 9. Do you know what? Joshua believed that. He believed that God was with him. Were there ever more encouraging words spoken to a human being than those words? "God will be with you." So come on, church. Be strong and courageous. God is with you. When God commanded Moses and the people to leave Sinai and move into the wilderness and on the way to Canaan, he said, "My presence will go with you and I will give you rest." And Moses responded, you remember this story? "If your presence doesn't go with me, then I don't want to go." It's in Exodus 33. Moses had seen miracles, he'd seen displays, awesome displays of God's supernatural power, probably more than most. And yet he says, does he not, "Without you, I won't go. No God, no go." And Joshua knew that Moses desired what Moses desired. He knew where Moses' success lay. The fact that God was with him. What are the practical implications for us today of God's promise to Joshua? well, that he... How do we know that this truth is abiding for us, working for us? If we go ahead to the New Testament, in what we call the Great Commission, in Matthew 28, we have a promise from Jesus. And it is this, that all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. And then it goes on, doesn't it? And then at the end it says, and behold, I am with you to the end of the age. There's a wonderful parallel between the commissioning of Joshua to enter the promised land and the commissioning of Christ's disciples and therefore us to enter the whole earth with God's presence. And as Moses' departure left Joshua in charge of Israel, the ascension of Jesus left the church in the hands of the apostles and then us. As Joshua's commission launched Israel crossing into Canaan, Jesus' great commission in Matthew 28 launched the church from Canaan to the ends of the earth. With this phrase, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. But also the words found in Hebrews chapter 13. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And the glorious conclusion of the author to the Hebrews is found in the next verse where he says this, the Lord is my helper, therefore I will not fear. I will be strong and courageous, for what can man do to me? His point is that God is always there for us. He is always with us. And I am satisfied with his presence. Are you satisfied with the presence of God? That he was with us? That no human can control or shape our destiny or ultimately do anything to rob us of the joy that we need to flourish? That people might persecute us and people might send to us all sorts of different trials, and we might be slandered and abandoned. They might even kill us. But there's nothing that anyone can do that jeopardizes or undermines our relationship with God. We enter this year with God with us. It is a certainty, church. Be strong and courageous. God is with us. The last thing is this trust that Joshua had in the law. Joshua's success hung, suspended on this. He will obey the law. There's a huge difference between knowing the law and obeying the law. All the study in the world will count for nothing if we don't do what God says. In fact, actually, in verse 7, it says that he must obey all of the law. That means for us in our Bibles that we're not going to pick and choose. It's not going to be selective obedience. No, this is not going to be on our agenda. We can't just obey what we like or what reinforces our ability to maybe do something wrong. Well, I can find this odd scripture, therefore, to back it up. No. I'm not going to just like the nice scriptures that make us feel comfortable and warm, and then dismiss the things that challenge us or even embarrass us. Joshua must not deviate from the right or the left. See, the path of God's word is straight, it's unmistakable, and no compromise is allowed. And if we're going to know something of the success of God, we're going to have to be people who obey the word of God and be strong in it, in the face of opposition, maybe. You believe what? We believe this. In fact, Joshua must not only obey it, he must meditate on it. Day and night, by the way. The idea of meditation is not the modern version that we've got meditation. It's not sit cross-legged and light a candle and dim the lights. It's not quiet reflection. but it's vocal declaration of truth. Note, the law must not depart from your mouth. So you don't just think about it, you speak it out. One of the things I found so liberating is when we've been doing the Advent prayer in the cabin, was that reading out loud of the chapter that we have done in Luke's Gospel. It's better, isn't it, than threading it between your eyes. There seems to be a different dynamic in speaking out biblical truth. The psalmist wrote this: "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of God. And in his law, he meditates day and night." He's going to keep declaring truth, praying out truth, living by truth. "I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." So it becomes a defense mechanism to our behavior and our character. "I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your way." Now, this is the way that I'm going to live. I'm going to live according to your word. And I'm going to be strong and courageous when every pressure is pressing in for me to do otherwise. I'm going to keep living this way. I'm going to keep living according to your law. There are dozens of similar verses. Biblical meditation is not about emptying your mind. It's about filling your mind with the truth of God. There is a promise in verse 8 of prosperity. By the way, this is not financial wealth, as some have implied. The two words mentioned here, prosperity and succeed or success, refer to succeeding in the many endeavours and tasks of life that life poses, or that God gives. That you will succeed in exploits for God. The word prosper occurs 69 times in the Old Testament, and 59 of them mean to succeed in one's endeavours with what God has given you. Can you hear that, church? Can you be strong and courageous in not only obeying the law of God, but believing that God has got things for you to do and you should do them? So Joshua is called, therefore, to be strong and courageous. This courage is the determination to obey God irrespective of the cost and consequences. It means that as we together set out on our unusual journey of faith in 2021, my courage will be in recalling the God of miracles. All that God has done. This is my God. This is what my God can do. My courage will be displayed in personally believing that God will fulfill every promise that he has said. That my courage will be that I will be obedient to all that God has said. My courage will be that will be shown by a confidence and an expectation in the presence of God and his supernatural ability. And I will live out my courage by believing and acting on the word of God. I want to ask you to enter 2021 with those in mind. In Joshua chapter 4, it says this: "For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan for you." Isn't that amazing? The Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you, until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over, so that the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, and that you may fear the Lord your God forever. Wow. This strong and courageous will have an effect in our communities, church. So, my courage will be built on the fact that my God can and will remove any obstacle that stand in the way to the purposes of God. So God bless you. Happy New Year. And let's expect that God will do some incredible things amongst us in this year.